This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You know, he is on his way to the studio. Sometimes just something happens on the way to the office, and it's one of those days. But we've got a big, big show lined up here today. And just as the nation seeks to recover from Hurricane Harvey and Irma, now Hurricane Maria has left its mark on the Virgin Islands, especially in Puerto Rico. Well, Reverend Franklin Graham, president and CEO of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and the International Christian Relief Organization Samaritan's Purse, will join us with an update on relief efforts and teams headed to Puerto Rico. And if you've been watching the news, it looks awful. They have no cell service. They have no basic infrastructure is down. The roads are destroyed. So it'll be good to get an update on that. And earlier this afternoon, the Republican Senate leaders announced it will not vote on the Graham-Cassidy bill to repeal Obamacare because the votes just aren't there. Former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum will join us to discuss his latest involvement with writing that proposal. And the NFL player protest debate continues. Will it ever go away? Are you like me? I just like to watch a little football, watch a little sports without the drama, without the politics. We have enough of that that we have to deal with and work with, and it'd be nice just to watch a little football. Award-winning author Dinesh D'Souza will weigh in on this issue. And then, of course, we will take your calls. Well, the recent spree of hurricanes has humanitarian organizations busy helping people and communities rebuild. And now Puerto Rico is facing a humanitarian crisis from Hurricane Maria. Samaritan's Purse is one of those organizations with teams deployed. And folks, I have been with Samaritan's Purse before. I got to be with Reverend Franklin Graham in Joplin, Missouri, my home state of Missouri, and I got to see firsthand what this organization does, and people are blessed, I'm telling you, when they're on the ground. Well, joining us now is a friend to the Family Research Council, Reverend Franklin Graham, president and CEO of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and the International Christian Relief Organization, Samaritan's Purse. Franklin, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Well, Franklin, Tony is on his way to the studio and something happened and got delayed, so I jumped in here. And Franklin, you must be putting on a lot of miles. I understand you recently went to the Florida Keys to encourage volunteers and see firsthand the damage caused by Hurricane Irma.
Yes, and I just got back last night. I was down in Barbuda, where we flew into Antigua, then over to Barbuda, where that whole island was devastated. Yes. On September the 6th. But there's five islands that we are dealing with right now down there. There's St. Martin, Turks and Caicos, Dominica, Barbuda, and now Puerto Rico. And every one of these islands has had substantial, catastrophic damage. I don't know how to explain it other than it's just catastrophic. And, you know, people are in despair. People don't know what to do. Of course, many of these island people have very strong faith, and they thank God that they're alive. They thank God that their family members or their very few people lost life during these storms. But yet it's going to take not weeks or months, but it will take years for these areas to recover.
And Franklin, one of those interesting points that I'm seeing out there is nearly half of Americans don't know that Puerto Ricans are fellow citizens. And there are more than 3 million Americans in Puerto Rico who are struggling to meet basic needs after this hurricane.
Well, it's saying basic needs is kind of an understatement.
Yes.
The people had their homes damaged. They're without power, so you cannot keep food or preserve food. It's in many places it's impossible to cook your food. The water's contaminated. It is just an absolute mess. And not only is the island just devastated, but the infrastructure, the roads are damaged. Your power lines are down. To fly in there, for our relief planes to go in, the entire region around San Juan is controlled by San Juan, but it's down. And so you have to cancel your IFR flight plan and fly VFR in under with no radar protection or radar separation for your aircraft. Very dangerous. And it's just chaotic. I can't explain it other than just it's chaos.
Well, it's my understanding that, as you mentioned, the lack of functioning power and communications on the island there has also hindered reporting on the storm. So it's important that we get out the word. That's why we wanted to have you on today, as many Americans don't really realize what's going on. So with those challenges, Franklin, how are you going to deploy and get into the island?
Well, first of all, we have our own aircraft, so we're able to get in. It's not easy. But we have a number of churches that we work with. I did a crusade there earlier in the year, and we have a lot of churches that back the meetings. And those pastors in those churches are the ones that we're working with. Communications is tough because cell phones are down.
Right.
And so it's very difficult, but we use the churches as our distribution. We've been taking generators in. That's a big item for people is to have generators. We've taken desalization, like in Barbuda yesterday. We have two reverse osmosis water plants that could do about 500 gallons a day. We can do seawater, or we can just do brackish water coming out of the wells. But at least we are able to provide clean water for these people in two locations there in Barbuda. But we're doing the same thing in St. Martin, where the water systems are down. Every place they go, they need water. And so that's one of these reverse osmosis. They're portable. Same thing that the U.S. military uses. We get them from the same vendors. And they're expensive units. You have to have somebody, a technician, stay with them. You just don't crank them up and leave them. You got to stay with them and tend them. And then you have to test the water periodically to make sure that it's clean. But it's a great need down there. And then shelter material. So many people's homes lost roofs, or the roofs were substantially damaged. And, of course, water comes into the house. It ruins the contents of the home. It ruins your bedding, your furniture, everything. So we've got blue tarps. These are huge tarps that come in big rolls. And we roll it out, cut it for the roof size, and then we nail it on. And that way, at least people, they're in the dry. And it's not a permanent roof. You'll have to come back later and put a permanent roof up. But at least they'll keep them in the dry temporarily, and that's a huge need. And this plastic, we keep it in stock, and we've been flying that stuff down there around the clock.
And Franklin, you mentioned that there were other islands. As a matter of fact, it's not only Puerto Rico, but there are six other Caribbean islands. You're just, you know, we're still dealing with Harvey and Irma down in Florida. How does an organization like Samaritan's Purse handle so many tragedies at one time?
Well, we are stretched. To be honest with you, I don't see how our teams could take on another disaster right now. We're five locations in Texas alone that we're managing. We're in three locations in Florida right now. And, of course, we're operating on five islands in the Caribbean. But God has given us a great team of people, and we appreciate everyone who has prayed for us, everyone who has supported us financially. We could not do this without the support of individuals. What makes it difficult, places like the islands, we have to use aircraft to fly in the supplies, and we even have to use aircraft down in the Keys, going out to Key West, to take volunteers out there to work. We go out of Fort Lauderdale every morning. We have four flights in the morning, four in the evening, taking people out there to where they can work. So far, we can't get volunteers out there to work, so we have to use airplanes. But we've had hundreds and hundreds already go out there to volunteer to Key West, and then we're working our way from Key West. We're working north up the Keys. And it's actually the worst damage was not right in Key West itself, but it's just about 5 to 10 miles north of that is where the real damage is, and it goes on up past Marathon. But that's going to take a long time. So we're right here at home, whether it's Texas or Florida, we've been hit, and our neighbors in the Caribbean, they have taken a huge hit. And I don't know what to say other than just people keep praying. Pray for the folks out there. They need our prayers.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and we're talking with Reverend Franklin Graham, President and CEO of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and the International Christian Relief Organization Samaritan's Purse. Franklin, is there ever such a thing as having too many volunteers? There may be people that want to listen. There may be people that are listening that have been down there and only know these islands from a vacation or a cruise, but now these people really need help.
They do. And no, we don't have too many volunteers. And I would encourage a person, if they would like to know how to volunteer, how to go about it, they can go to our website, SamaritansPurse.org. And you can see on the website a place where you can click to get the information on volunteering. And if you call a number, and there are numbers, and if for some reason it's busy, you know, don't get discouraged. Don't say, well, they don't want my help. Wait a little bit and then try to call back. But we really do need help, and we need volunteers, a lot of them.
And just to recap, there's some 95% of the island's homes and businesses were damaged or destroyed by Irma. And then Hurricane Maria has killed some 27 people in Dominica, where even the prime minister was left homeless. Right. And island to the east of Puerto Rico, Dominica, was also shredded by Maria there. So there are a lot of folks and officials. And in the U.S. Virgin Islands, 48,000 people are still without power. So you're saying generators are probably the number one need.
It is. We take we have found some vendors or suppliers that would sell us these, it's a 2,000-watt generator. You can run a refrigerator. You can run some lights. You're able to charge your cell phone, those kinds of things. And you can run it all night on just a gallon or so of gas. So it's very, very efficient. And it's that kind of generator. Now, of course, if you have a small business, you need something bigger. But for a home, just a small 2,000-watt generator will do a lot for you.
Well, Franklin, thank you so much for taking time to be with us here on Washington Watch. And we know you all do so much. And folks that are listening, there are many opportunities to donate. But I can tell you firsthand, Franklin, I was with you in Joplin, Missouri, and got to walk around and looked at that devastating tornado years ago. And that's my home state. And I got to see the volunteers in orange T-shirts and the trucks that show up with a plan. That's the biggest thing I was impressed with, Franklin, is that you all come in there with the volunteers and then you have a plan and you strategically implement that. And I know this must be a challenge. So, Franklin, thank you so much for being on Washington Watch, and we'll make sure to point folks to your organization.
Thank you so much, Russ.
All right, thank you. Well, I am Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and you are listening to Washington Watch, and this is a Tuesday. There's so much going on in the world, so much, you know, people are talking about the NFL, but we've got people on islands that don't have electricity, don't have food, and they're devastated. So, you know, we want to keep our eye on the ball and make sure we talk about what's important. Well, the Senate won't be voting on the new Graham-Cassidy Obamacare overhaul efforts. Republicans couldn't get enough votes. Former Senator Rick Santorum will join us when we return to discuss this latest news. Again, you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? Our founding fathers knew that God's transcendent truth must be the foundation for all law. Since the early 20th century, however, truth-based rule of law has changed dramatically in America. The progressive era ushered in big change, shifting our standards to make it appear that truth is ever-evolving. America's founding fathers determined truth from a fixed source, God. But progressives determined that truth originated with man, thereby making it possible to change the truth in order to fit shifting cultural opinions and to undergird the power of those elected in office. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston reveals the importance of truth founded in God and the consequences of moral relativism. Is truth fixed or is it subject to change? The future existence of our free democracy hinges on answering this question correctly. Go to frc.org/decay to learn more.
In America, we face a media onslaught against the Christian perspective. It is now seen as anti-cultural and invalid. Dr. Michael Paulson, a law professor at the University of St. Thomas, talked about how Christians can respond intellectually. Dr. Paulson has researched common arguments against religious liberty. For example, religious values are no different than ethical values. Dr. Paulson argues that the law should give religious exemptions because of the perspective of a religious person who necessarily believes in God as an ultimate source. Religion is different and necessitates a different kind of devotion. Moreover, the Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom of exercise. The Christian perspective is one that is not outdated, but still present and still valid according to the Constitution. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discusses the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Happy Tuesday. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, producer of this very program. I'm a 30-year media veteran, been doing this a long time, not my first rodeo. Tony is on his way to the office. I'd like to, you know, there's always that saying, you know, something funny happened on the way to the office, and he'll be with us shortly. And there's been so much going on, and I'm sure you've been tracking some of it. But just a few hours ago, Senate Republicans decided not to hold a vote turning back the Affordable Care Act, authored by Senators Lindsey Graham and Bill Cassidy. If you were listening yesterday, you got to hear Senator Graham talk with us, talk with Tony about the health care bill. But leading senators say there just aren't enough votes for the bill to pass, so they've called off the vote. And Monday brought the sole scheduled public hearing on the Graham-Cassidy health care bill in the Senate. Now, at least three Republican senators have said they're not going to vote for the bill as it is, and several others are reluctant to get on board. Republicans can only afford to lose the support of only three of their own senators if, as expected, and all the Democrats, you know, they toe the party line against any Republican efforts to repeal or replace the Affordable Care Act. And Republican leaders want to pass a bill before Saturday, but they're not going to vote on that now. It's the authority for reconciliation process, enabling them to avoid a Democratic filibuster. So what are they going to do next? Are they going to move on to tax reform? There's a lot of folks that want to see reform in the tax code. And we're supposed to talk with former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum. We're waiting for him to join us here on the line. He was very instrumental in writing this new language and working with Senator Graham and Senator Cassidy. And the proposal would take money currently spent on subsidizing expanded Medicaid and insurance purchases on the Obamacare exchanges, pool the funding, and return it as block grants to the states with instructions to create systems that work for them. And Senator Santorum has been intimately involved with that. And he said in a recent Breitbart article, quote, "Anyone who votes against this bill," referring to the Graham-Cassidy Obamacare repeal bill, says, "I'm still for repealing Obamacare. They're a liar. If they still say they're for repealing Obamacare, they're a liar because they had a chance to repeal Obamacare and they didn't." And he can go into detail on the recent changes to the bill to gain more support, arguing that any alleged addition of money to sway some senators is a minor issue at best. And he said the arguments were simply to ensure that if Washington is going to block grant the Obamacare money, it needs to do so proportionately and fairly. That is what any last-minute changes are meant to bring about. And also, he has cited that welfare reform under Bill Clinton as an instance of successful government reform of a major program, while pointing out that Graham-Cassidy Obamacare repeal is the first real effort to take on Obamacare. And Santorum has also said that previous votes to repeal Obamacare were actually, quote, fake votes. As it was known, the bills being voted upon never had a chance to becoming law. So what are your thoughts on Obamacare and this repeal effort and the Congress not being able to get this to a vote? Maybe we should take a few calls. Give us a call at 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. Give us a call and share your thoughts about with us right now about the health care program. Are you frustrated that this can't get repealed? It seems like the Republican Party has had some 7 years to get this done. And I think folks, average folks in coffee shops across America would like to know what is the hangup and what's going on with health care. Is it ever going to get to come to a vote? And what's that going to look like in elections in 2018 in the midterms? Is it going to affect people running for reelection and whatnot? So one of the things that we want to talk about and keep an eye on here is the health care. And, of course, we know that the Democrats, they're just not going to support anything that comes out of the Republican Party. So if maybe we need to take a look at this and see exactly what is at the root of this. Let's go to Tennessee right now and hear from Lee. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for taking my call, Tony. I just wanted to say that I really don't believe the Republicans ever really had any strong intentions of repealing the Affordable Care Act. And all of this posturing about they can't get the vote, I believe it's just a ruse. And it's a real shame because when it comes up time in 2 years for us to vote, Republicans are going to lose.
So you're going to remember this when it comes midterm time.
I think a lot of people will. I mean, yeah. I think a lot of people will. I mean, that's why they were voted in overwhelmingly, was because of that particular idea that affordable care was going to be repealed. And they haven't done it.
All right. Well, thanks for calling Washington Watch. Hey, let's go over to North Carolina. Lenny, you want to know why can't the GOP just get this done? Welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes. Before Obamacare, my medical insurance was $250 a month, and I had really good coverage. After Obamacare, my insurance premiums went to the last was $1,000 a month before the insurance company pulled out of the state. And I don't have any insurance now because it was going to go up to $1,200 a month, and I just financially can't afford it. A lot of these guys got back into office because they were going to repeal and replace and put something in place that we could afford. And I just feel like we've been let down.
Well, Lenny, I don't think you're alone. I think there's a lot of folks that would like to see some relief with the medical expenses. Thanks for calling Washington Watch. Hey, let's go to David in Oklahoma. Let's go to David real quick. You've got 30 seconds, David.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to mention occasionally I've heard Jimmy Kimmel, the gentleman who has the late night show,
yep.
mention talk about his son, use his son. I know it's still, it's unfortunate, but I doubt very seriously his son is on AHA, and I don't understand how he feels like he has such a voice, and that is all. Thank you.
All right, David in Oklahoma, thank you so much. Well, hey, coming up next, we're going to talk with Dinesh D'Souza. Are you tired of all this debate over the NFL football games? Have you stopped watching? Are you fed up? Would you just like to watch a little sports without all the drama and the politics? Well, coming up after the break, we'll talk with Dinesh. He's got an interesting article on FoxNews.com. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins.
Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news.
We've gone from give me liberty or give me death to take care of me, please. What has happened to the American spirit? Our colleges were once bastions of free speech. Now they're bastions of speech codes. In a talk about his new book, Not a Daycare, Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, takes a hard look at what's happening around the country, including the demand for safe spaces and trigger warnings at universities like Yale, Brandeis, and Oberlin. Go to frc.org/speakers to watch.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. No, this is not Russ doing a Tony Perkins invitation. Hey, I want to thank Russ for jumping in there for me. I don't know if you've ever had this happen, but I was on my way to the studio, and a house was in the middle of the road. And so it never had that happen before. But anyway, I am here now, and Russ did a fantastic job in the first half of the program with Franklin Graham, then talking about Obamacare. We'll return to that. I had some conversations with members this morning on Capitol Hill regarding Obamacare and the repeal. We'll talk about that. But first, you know, the debate over the NFL football players kneeling during the national anthem continues. President Trump continued his criticism on the NFL, of the NFL and what they did. And quite frankly, as I said yesterday, I agree with him. Not necessarily how he said it, but what he said. Well, this morning he wrote that NFL ratings are way down except before game starts, when people tune in to see whether or not our country will be disrespected. Well, with us now is Dinesh D'Souza, documentary producer, award-winning author. His latest book, The Big Lie, Exposing the Nazi Roots of the American Left. And yesterday, his article on FoxNews.com entitled Dinesh D'Souza, Colin Kaepernick's Big Lie. And he joins us now to talk more about it. Dinesh, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, it's great to be on the show.
You know, this thing to me appears to have really tapped into something. I mean, it shows the divide in this nation. But a lot of Americans are really tired of disrespecting America and those who have defended our country. And that's what the national anthem and the flag represents to so many people.
Yes, it does. And that raises the question, why is it so important for the left, the left wing of the Democratic Party, to do this? Why, in other words, why is attacking America something that they think is important to carry out? And I think the reason that they do this is it's a way of shaming conservatives. It's a way of shaming Republicans and conservatives into taking responsibility for the historical crimes of slavery and segregation and Jim Crow and the Ku Klux Klan. Now, the point I wanted to stress in the article is that what is, of course, so paradoxical and strange is that the Democratic Party is the party that actually promoted these historical evils. Mm-hmm. The Democratic Party was, in fact, the party of slavery and segregation. Every segregation law in the South was enacted by a Democratic legislature, signed by a Democratic governor. The Ku Klux Klan was a kind of domestic terrorist arm of the Democratic Party for 30 years. And so the Democrats are engaged in a kind of big lie, and by big lie, I mean that they are taking the things that they did and blaming them on someone else. Now, in the case of the Confederate statues of a few weeks ago, they were blaming it on the South. And now in the case of the national anthem, they're blaming it on America. So they're blaming it on somebody else other than themselves, the people who actually did it. And that's why my latest book is called The Big Lie. The Big Lie refers to this practice of deception.
So what is their what's their purpose? I mean, I know you, they're shaming Republicans. They want to silence the debate. Is this about them being able to really push their agenda forward by projecting onto conservatives their own past?
Well, they're trying to morally discredit the right. And specifically, they want to delegitimize Trump. I mean, look at all the abnormal behavior that's going on the left and in the Democratic Party right now. This has really begun since Election Day.
Right, right.
Trying to persuade electors to disavow their commitments, not attending the inauguration, disrupting the inauguration with violence, driving speakers off the campus. So all of this behavior would normally be completely inexcusable. But the left says the reason we're doing it is, look, we're fighting racism. We're fighting fascism. We are the anti-fascists. So these labels are not only insults. They are a way to legitimize and justify conduct that would otherwise be morally and legally inexcusable.
So, in other words, what they are claiming the right is harboring in their hearts is what the left has actually done in their past.
Yes, and a very good example of this is if you look at these Antifa guys on campus. They claim to be fighting fascism. They claim to be fighting, you know, Hitler in the 1930s, and they compare Trump to Hitler. But if you look at them, they dress like the old, you know, black shirts of Mussolini's day or the brown shirts of Hitler's day. They carry weapons. They are all about intolerance and preventing speakers they don't like from having a point of view. So these are fascist tactics being carried out, oddly enough, in the name of fighting fascism.
So what is the proper response from conservatives, given the hostility, the obsession we see that the left has with Trump and stopping him?
Well, I keep hearing, you know, Republicans are generally very bad. I mean, they have generally no idea how to fight the culture war. And they tend to say things like, oh, this is such a distraction. Let's talk about the real issues. Let's try to convince these Antifa people that they shouldn't be uncivil. Civility is the way to go. Now, none of this really works, because the reason that the Antifa guys do the stuff they're doing is because it does work. It successfully does keep speakers off the campus. Right. So Trump has the right approach, and that is to call him out on it, to be tough, to enforce the law.
Dinesh, I agree with you. I actually think he's doing the right thing. He's the type of leader we need. I don't agree with everything he says, but I agree we need a leader like that that will stand up to the left. And Dinesh, thanks so much for joining us. I'll encourage people to check out that article at foxnews.com. All right, folks, Dinesh D'Souza there. Go to TonyPerkins.com. You can follow the links over and see the article. All right, man, I've got an hour's worth of talking I got to get done in 30 minutes since I missed the first half of the program. So you better listen quick when we get back. All right, don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch right after this.
We've gone from give me liberty or give me death to take care of me, please. What has happened to the American spirit? Our colleges were once bastions of free speech. Now they're bastions of speech codes. Our culture once rewarded independence. Now it rewards victimhood. Parents once taught their kids how to fend for themselves. Now any parent who tries may get a visit from the police. In a talk about his new book, Not a Daycare, Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, takes a hard look at what's happening around the country, including demands for safe spaces and trigger warnings at universities like Yale, Brandeis, and Oberlin, and digs in his heels against the sad and dangerous dumbing down of the American spirit. Dr. Piper has become known for his passionate defense of intellectual freedom, and he challenges the intolerant tolerance of today's academic community. Go to frc.org/speakers to watch. Again, that's frc.org/speakers.
Are you worried about the moral direction of America? Do you feel powerless to make a difference? Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. Established in 1983 in Washington, D.C., Family Research Council conducts research, develops policy, drafts legislation, and educates policymakers, pastors, and the grassroots. It testifies before Congress and shapes public debate through the media and internet. Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about Family Research Council, please visit us at frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news. Again, that's frc.org.
We've gone from give me liberty or give me death to take care of me, please. What has happened to the American spirit? Our colleges were once bastions of free speech. Now they're bastions of speech codes. In a talk about his new book, Not a Daycare, Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, takes a hard look at what's happening around the country, including the demand for safe spaces and trigger warnings at universities like Yale, Brandeis, and Oberlin. Go to frc.org/speakers to watch.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. By the way, coming up, Values Voter Summit, October 13th through the 15th. You can be a part of it. There's still room, not a whole lot of room, but there's still room for you. To find out more, go to TonyPerkins.com. Okay, I know Russ started the conversation regarding Obamacare in the announcement today that Republicans were not going to have a vote in the Senate. We can continue that conversation. 866-372-7234. Yeah, I was talking with members early this morning, indication that Susan Collins had pulled off of the Graham Cassidy bill with the hopes of, and this is the inside information I obtained. She was basically saying she was going to pull off, indicating that she wanted the Republicans to drop the defunding of Planned Parenthood. And the conservatives, who are really driving this effort, not necessarily the Graham Cassidy bill, but driving the repeal effort, said no. That's been a part of it from day one, and it stays a part of it. So what's going to happen is that in the 2018 budget bill, there'll be a reconciliation instructions written that would include both tax reform, which has been the plan all along, and the repeal of Obamacare. So it gives them more time to work on this. Now, there are some dynamics here that could change the vote potentially during this time period. And you've got a Democratic senator that could be indicted in jail. Which changes everything. You've got John McCain, who physically may not be in the Senate. Who knows? So there's some dynamics here that could change the vote count, which could make things different when this comes up again in the not-too-distant future. So I want to ask you this. I'll give you my opinion, but I want to know yours. How big of a deal is this if the Republicans do not repeal Obamacare? I think it's a huge deal. I mean, I think their majority rides on this. You may see it differently. 866-372-7234. Maybe you go back 7 years, And after Obamacare was passed by Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi as House Speaker, there was an uprising in 2010. The Republicans took control of the House. They passed some things in the House, never went anywhere in the Senate. Senate was democratically controlled and by Harry Reid. So, again, Republicans took it to the voters, said we need to get the Senate in order to do this. They got the Senate. And in 2015, they did pass a reconciliation bill that defunded gutted Obamacare, defunded Planned Parenthood. President Obama vetoed that. So then they came to the American people and said, we need the White House. All right, they got the White House. The weak sister in all of this has not been the House. It's not been the White House. It has been the Senate, quite frankly. And by the way, there's a vote taking place in Alabama. If you live in Alabama, still time to vote in a special election there for the U.S. Senate. And I think this Senate race is more of a referendum on that Republican leadership in the Senate. We'll see the outcome there tonight. But anyway, if you haven't voted and you live in Alabama, be sure and vote. Okay, we're going to go to the phone lines, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Mary in Missouri. Mary, welcome to Washington Watch. Mary, you there?
Yes.
Go right ahead.
Yes, I'm just very disappointed in the Republican Party that they can't get it together. It makes it look like they were hypocrites. I think as long as doing away with Planned Parenthood is in it and possibly not providing for transgender surgeries in the military might be in it. I'm not sure. I think these people are just not going to vote to replace and repeal.
All right. I think, Mary, you're probably not alone on that. A lot of people have been hearing promises over and over. And I know I had a couple of conversations with some senators shortly after the election, when we were working to begin building that reconciliation bill, what the language looked like, and said, hey, let's just go with the 2015, which the president called for, members of the Freedom Caucus in the House called for. And some senators I talked to said, oh, no, that was a messaging vote. I said, what do you mean a messaging vote? Well, we were just sending a message. It wasn't that we really supported that. I said, well, you didn't bother to tell the American people that. So I do think you need to weigh in very strongly with your senators on this and let them know where you stand on it.
Well, I think we do. I'm very disappointed. And what about the Democrats that ran as conservatives in red states and some of them professing to be Christians? That they won't stand with the Republicans and get this done.
Yeah, well, and this is where I think people need to make those calls. You can call the Capitol Switchboard, 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121, the number to call to talk to your member of Congress. I think, Mary, thanks so much for the call. I think it's critical you weigh in on this and let them know that this is problematic. And I hope, for the sake of for the sake of the country, for the ability to continue to get some things done in Congress, I hope that the Republicans get this repealed, because I think it's going to cost them dearly if they do not. All right, let's go to Jackson, Tennessee, where Shirley is on the line. Shirley, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I love your show. I just wanted to say, as far as the government, the Republicans, when I read the book, George Orwell's Animal Farm, I mean, it looks like that's exactly what they're doing. We have a bunch of Democrats to run on the Republican ticket. Number two, as far as the NFL is concerned, with all of this taking of a knee, which is disgusting and rude, and I don't know, they don't even know what they're protesting. They're just taking knees for something, because Trump wasn't even there when the flag was created, nor was he there when the war was fought to give us our liberty. So it's dumb for them to say we're mad at Trump, so we're going to go against our whole principles of the nation. The two don't even go together. But I think it's disgusting. Tennessee went south a long time ago. You'll probably remember the murder of Steve McNair. I don't even know if that was ever resolved. Many people in Tennessee, where I am, thought that his girlfriend had actually killed him. He was running around with women and stuff, and he wasn't the only one. There's a lot of them. There's just a lot of lack of morals on these football teams, and kids hero-wise these people not realizing that these people are mental and have a lot of problems. Not all of them, but a great deal of them. So what we need to do is train them. Jesus is our hero, and don't heroize anybody else. Thank you so much.
All right, Shirley, great to hear from you. I do think that we put these athletes on a pedestal, and I think that's why they have such a significant platform. And I do think that there's some great role models in sports. I know a few of them, and there are a lot of bad role models. But I just, I don't want to rehash what I said yesterday, but I just don't think it's appropriate what they're doing. They may be wanting to make a statement. Hey, let them make a statement. But I just think it's wrong to disrespect those who have fought and died for our country. And that's what I think it is when you take a knee to the national anthem or, you disrespect the flag. I just think it's wrong. And anyway, my point was I didn't necessarily support what the president said, but I supported the fact that he said something and called them out for it. All right, we were talking about the Obamacare. By the way, I was listening as I was making my way to the studio, and I thought Russ did a great job interviewing Franklin. One of the things in Puerto Rico, in fact, I was there a little over a year ago, almost 2 years ago, and I didn't realize this till I was down there, but the number of pharmaceutical manufacturing firms that are there is astounding. I mean, a lot of the major pharmaceutical companies are headquartered right there. And this could have an impact. This devastation that was done to Puerto Rico could have a significant impact upon the cost of drugs. It could set back a lot of laboratories were down there. And so this could set back some of the research and development, manufacturing. I had no idea that so many pharmaceutical manufacturers were headquartered there in Puerto Rico, which will only make our healthcare system worse when we're looking at the rising cost of Obamacare. You have insurance providers pulling out of these government exchanges. I mean, the thing is imploding. And I'm not sure what they're going to do. The Democrats are holding out, watching the Republicans, stumble over each other. And they're going, Bernie Sanders is going to jump in and say, hey, we're going to have this single-payer system, which is exactly what Lindsey Graham said yesterday on this program. That's what they're advocating for. This is the way to stop a single-payer system. I'm a constitutionalist. I know that things are black and white, okay? I get that. There's right, there's wrong, truth, untruth. But in the policy world, when you're trying to get to your destination, let's say you're at A and you want to get to C, sometimes you got to stop at B. And while this is not what I would want in terms of a total repeal of Obamacare, going back to the way we were prior to Obamacare, it moves us in that direction. And part of the political process is reaching consensus, and you do your best to move the ball or the policy toward where you know it needs to be. And for those like Rand Paul and others who are saying, I'm not going to support it because it's not a total repeal, folks, I don't have a lot of patience with that, because if this Graham-Cassidy bill were to pass and go into law, you would no longer be forced into a partnership with Planned Parenthood that you are today, and you will be tomorrow because Rand Paul wouldn't support this. We will continue to see your tax dollars, which are a part of the Obamacare system, funding elective abortions, which it would not have occurred, which would not be occurring if Graham Cassidy passed, because it would block grant these dollars, putting them through Hyde language. Is it what we ultimately want? No. We want to do away with it completely. Does it get us closer? Yes. So, folks, I think you need to weigh in with your senator. Sometimes they just don't, I don't think they think straight. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Dave in Wyoming. Dave, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I was just wondering, why can't we go back to what we had before we had Obamacare? I know you mentioned something about that earlier. I mean, what's the problem? I mean, I just don't care.
Well, there are a couple of things. One, I agree. I think we that should be our goal, is to go back. But part of what's happened is through Obamacare being put into place, you now have people who were kicked off of their insurance that they had, forced onto the Obamacare system. So you have to have, number one, you have to have a phase out so that they can go back into a free market. See, we've messed up the whole market. The whole insurance market has been messed up by the government. All right, the government's responsible for this. So for those who are now forced to be upon a government system, is it right for the government to pull it out from underneath them right away? The government bears the responsibility here of providing a bridge. So that's been one of the holdups. But then there are those, Dave, who don't want to go back to a more market-based system. They like big government. And that includes both R's and D's. There's some Republicans that are big government Republicans. And the more money that, Washington hands out, the more power it has. So I personally would like to see it go back to where we are moving toward a purely market-based system, which we've not had for a long time in this country. But this was a step in that direction by essentially sending the money that's actually less money that's been spent on Obamacare, sending it back to the states and allowing the states then to best determine how that's to be done. And, Dave, I just think given the options we have, I think the states do a much better job than Washington in deciding these things. And it's more easily controlled by the people as well. Dave, got to go. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening. All right, folks, just about out of time. But I do want to encourage you to contact your members of the Senate. This issue is not over. And I think they need to know that you are going, if you are, now maybe you're not, maybe you don't care, but I think you probably do. They need to know that you are going to consider this come election time. Let them know that this is a factor. They have failed to follow through on a promise. And they better get it right, and they better do it soon. So give them a call. Let them know that. 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121, Capital Switchboard. All right, folks, out of time. Sorry we didn't get to the rest of the calls. And, hey, thanks for sticking around today. I know it was a little different. We did the first time ever tag team radio. Again, my thanks to Russ Jones for filling in this morning. All right, folks, have a great afternoon. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.